Thank you, Mr. Fogelson. Happy Sabbath, brethren. And so neat to see all these young guys taking up responsibilities and doing the things that they do now. Thank you. Thank you all for especially having the ensemble and everything. So I tell you what, it's a absolute joy to be here on the Sabbath day. And if I hope we recognize that, because after a hard week of work, and for many of us, it truly sinks in that, you know what, we need God's rest. And with Mr. McKeon going on last week, it was so great to hear the aspiration, the aspiring love and affection that we see through the Holy Day plan of what God has in store for us as followers of His way. And I think of ourselves as Gideon's army almost, as we, you know, God continues to call. We're going to keep working. We're going to keep working. You, what's your name? You're part of that group, that final group that's going to be there when Christ returns. Also exciting, I know we got some teens in here, is the upcoming camp. And for the first time in my life, I get to go to camp. Woohoo! I feel like a 54-year-old kid, man. All right, enough. They probably won't find it. Who? Who are you? Just go back there and do your dishes. Okay, hey, I'm happy to do it. You know, all of us have heard the phrase, you know, we have to crawl before we walk, walk before we run, and run before we can fly. And in our minds, as we progress towards God's kingdom, it is our focus to learn to live a loving lifestyle so that we can continue to grow and continue to always be about our Father's business and serving Him, serving the brethren, serving the universe, serving the new creations that He's going to bring. We're in a unique age, and as the permafrost melts, we find more and more discoveries of different ages in the past, and we see things that we didn't know about, and that's been happening for eons. But our job is to grow spiritually. And spirit, of course, we can't see spirit. But when we think of spiritual growth, what do we think about? And how important is it to us to understand that the only way that we can grow spiritually is understanding God's scriptures. And when we read over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, I'll read it to you. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, where it's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Every last man, woman, and child that has ever existed." You, what's your name? You have the unique opportunity to be a part of His first fruits, as we just passed Pentecost. The Holy Day represents. You know, when we think about the spiritual world, it's been around longer than matter has existed. And we have to govern from, or we have to judge from what we can see for the past 6,000 years. But we know what the Bible tells us, being that a third of the Bible is prophecy. And we know that there is a future that involves us, a future that is very, very important, not only just to God, but to us, to understand what He's trying to do. So why do we do what we do? Why are you sitting here on this Sabbath day? Why aren't you out golfing? Why aren't you out cleaning? Why aren't you out doing something different? It's because you've taken the time to understand that, hey, look, God has instructed me to keep God's Sabbath holy, as we just sang in the song. to learn about God's way, to understand, to fully inculcate into our minds and our hearts, to get the things to go beyond ourselves in recognition of what this world represents and how we are to represent God when we encounter other people outside of this church, outside of this building. And it's an incredible journey, absolutely incredible journey that you're on, that we are on, to know that there is an end to this age, but we have to live every day with the thought process that we have to do it God's way. Why do you want to do it God's way? Because, well, if you follow the God of this world, little g, it brings pain and heartache. And it doesn't help anyone. It's always going to be something that is going to harm or hurt what those around us. So we have to learn to follow the roadmap God has provided for us towards success. And there are many types of roadmaps that people talk about. You know, you got to get successful with financially. Let's get set spiritually, understanding what God has in store for us, because it's beyond comprehension for most to think that there is a true God. There is a God that works with you as an individual. Your learning is yours. Your understanding comes at your pace. We have to understand what it is that God wants for us, and He wants all of us to be successful. So we have to keep everything in perspective, because God is good all the time. All the time. I have to mention, because Mr. Remy had brought up about miracles, and I just wanted to divert just for a second. I was talking to Mr. Doug Mosley the other day, and it was funny because I mentioned my history teacher who brought history to life, Mr. Richard Foss. And he was my history teacher in 10th grade. And he was in the South Pacific during World War II. And the old reel-to-reel films, I'm aging myself here, but we used to sit there and watch those old reel-to-reel films. And he stopped it. And he said, "Who's that on the camera?" And of course, everybody said, "General Douglas MacArthur." He says, "Absolutely." He said, "Who's that man at attention next to the plane?" I said, "That's you." He said, "Yeah, that's me." And I bring this up because miracles. He was, as they were landing on an island, the enemy was firing into his ship. And instead of jumping out the front, he jumped over the side with his full backpack and his 75-pound tripod for his water-cooled machine gun. Well, the water coming out the front was only 3 feet deep. On the side, it was 7 feet deep. And he went and sunk and tried to walk through the sand and mud as he tried to get up. He almost drowned. And he gets up on the beach, and there is a sniper shooting at him. And out of nowhere, a man in a brown suit said, "Richard, you're going to be okay." And he, "Okay." And somebody, you know, the sniper was eliminated, and he went on. And it took him a long time to realize, why would a man in a brown suit be out on the beach? But those miracles, that article, I relate that to you because it got published in the Reader's Digest. That was my history teacher. And it's interesting because just the fact that there are miracles in life that we sometimes take for granted and sometimes don't see until many years later. And I bring this up because in the theme of World War II, how many of you know where Papago Park is? All right. How many of you know that that used to be a prison camp? 3,100 prisoners from Germany were there, guarded by a mere 371 guards. And On December 24th, 1944, 24 POWs escaped. Now, they, very elaborate plan. They dug a hole and they got through the caliche. They masked their way the dirt that they were digging by allowing it to, they had built a volleyball court, so they were putting the dirt down that they were digging the tunnel and on the volleyball court. Well, then when they got out, they had stolen a map. And I mentioned this because I had mentioned the map before for God, for us. God's map for us. But they had stolen a map and they saw, wow, there's the river right there. They had actually went and built a raft and actually had tested the raft to make sure that it was going to float. And they were going to float all the way down the Salt River to get to Mexico. Start chuckling, okay? Because we know in the desert, just because you have blue on the map doesn't mean there's water. And when they got over to the Salt River with their raft, there was no water. So here they are. Some of them just went into town. Others tried to make it down to Mexico. All of them were recaptured. And it's kind of comical when you think about it, that these guys were, you know, on this road. They were going to get down to Mexico, get a boat back over from Mexico to Germany so they can continue to fight. And that was their job. But in the realization of it, one of the interviewers talked to one of the soldiers, the POWs, and said, you know, how was your time in Arizona? He says, well, it was hot, you know, but he says, I'm very thankful. Very thankful. Why? He said, because if I was on the Russian front and captured, the mortality rate of the Russians being a German prisoner was 85%. So it really wasn't a prison camp. It was a death camp for those. So he was very thankful. But we must follow God's roadmap, and we don't have any fake water. We have God's Spirit that infuses us to help us to understand the oil, the water. How many acronyms are there for God's Holy Spirit? To understand what He's trying to tell us. Why He's telling us the things He's telling us. So that we can do the things that are pleasing unto Him for a very long time. For eternity. Understanding that we have to walk by faith. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't. Some of the best laid plans are out the window. But as it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, you can write that down, for we walk by faith and not by sight. It's a key fundamental for our launching point for eternity. So we have to learn to crawl, identifying the need to have a relationship with God. We're here today because there's more to life than golf, than fishing, than sports, than whatever it is, you name it, that could take up your time on a Saturday for most people. For the millions of people in the sixth largest city in the United States, you could be doing something else. But you're here. You're here learning about God's way of life. You're here trying to fill up on the oil, to fill your jar. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. And keep a tab in Romans because we're going to come back to it. We have to get that foundation and establish repentance and faith. The crawling phase of it. To understand, God, there's got to be more to life than this. So when it says in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live as the flesh, for if we live as the after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And as mentioned before, you cannot push a rope. You can, But it's going to bend. You have to be led by God's Spirit. Led to the understanding that He's trying to give you. Going on, it says, "For we have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but to have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so we be that we suffer with Him, that we be no longer, that we may also be glorified together." Those of us who partake of the Passover, those words that we read in John 15, 16, 17, are so meaningful to understand who we are and why we're doing it, and more importantly, why Jesus Christ was willing to die for all of us. You, what's your name? You've been given an opportunity to serve the great God and to live forever. Seeing the need to be led by the Holy Spirit, when we read John 6:44, and I'll just read it to you, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. He has called you, brethren." He has called you. Acts 2:38, very familiar scriptures. "And Peter said unto him, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ, for the remission of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's not something we earn. It is a gift from God. But He's calling you to give you this gift. And then when we go on to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2, and I'll read that to you, it says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." We can't leapfrog the process. You have to crawl. You have to walk. You have to run. And then we'll be given our wings to fly. It takes time. It takes effort. There's things that you'll learn when you're in your teens and 20s and 30s that you will have to go through. The severity of how you go through it is up to you. But life gives you these challenges that you, wow, I never thought I'd get through that. But looking back, you can't know at 30 what you will at 50. And you can't forget what you, well, you forget everything once you get to 70. No, just kidding. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting pretty close. You know, God gives us the holy days. God gives us this Passover, the Sabbath. He gives us the clean and unclean meats to observe and to worship. Something as simple as keep God's Sabbath holy. Why do we have to complicate that? Well, God, I need to go to the mall. I need to do this. I wish she would stop talking so I could get out of here and go do what I need to do. No. Keep God's Sabbath holy. Take the time to refresh your mind so that you can see the things that God's trying to tell you in that silence, in that meditation. We don't add to or diminish any of the things that God has given to us to say. Do this. I wrote it down for you. Why? Because I want to see if you'll follow what I have to say. I'm entrusting you with eternity. Can I trust you? So then, as we learn to get up off our knees and we start to walk, let's turn over to Psalms chapter 119 and begin in verse 100. See, God's goodness is a light to us in a world of darkness. Everything that's so much of what we see today is thought of as, oh, you got to be tough, you got to be bad. that's being bad, is being cool. What? No, no. That's why I mentioned camp. It's exciting to go through all the literature, all the stuff that you have to go through to get ready for camp. To get you in the right mind frame to understand. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 100, it says, I understand more than the ancients because I have kept, because I keep your precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though the precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. In verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We can all walk. But if we walk in the wrong direction or if we walk out in the middle of the desert, you're going to get hurt. If you walk during darkness, we have to have the lighted path and follow what God's trying to give us. If you want to turn over there, it's Job chapter 3 and verse 23. And I'll just read the scripture. But if you want to turn there, you can. Job was going through a hard time. And in chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, why is light given to a man whose way is hid, whom God has hedged in? He said, well, what does that mean? Well, Job's narrative was where we find ourselves many times. He's feeling sorry for himself. But we have to get beyond the mentality of being hedged in and know that there's a way of life that we can recognize and walk to the light. Start reflecting that light as that mirror of God. Reflect it. Understand it. Say, you know what? I need more of that. I don't want to be in this darkness anymore. I don't want to do the things that this world tells us to do. I don't want to be focused in on the material things of this world that beats me down, that message that 24/7 pulsates through so many different channels. But understand this, brethren. 24/7, God's message is bigger and brighter when you tap into His channel. Bigger, brighter, better, far superior. See, if we can't see how great God is, that's our adversary trying to limit God. And when we understand how full and He is and how vigorous life can be, when we start following God's way of life, when we start doing the things that are pleasing unto Him, it's magnificent to understand what God is offering us. We have to get away from the darkness. And as Mr. Remy mentioned, you have to share that oil. Iron sharpens iron. We have to talk to one another. Don't wait until the Sabbath. Call somebody. Talk to somebody. Text somebody. There's so many ways to share with one another. Just the scripture. When you share something positive out of God's word, it's like casting your bread upon the water. It comes back to you. People understand. People see that, wow, maybe it's better today. Maybe it can be a better day, a brighter day. A brighter day. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. See, we've been duped into believing that this world is so, our adversary's way is so powerful. But as we shed the scales off of our eyes and understand the greatness of God and the message that He's given us and the sheer joy and improvement of what your life can be, when we stop focusing in on the negativity, the love that God has for us, the peace that He has to offer us, the goodness that He gives you. In Isaiah 50 and verse 10, it says, who among you that feareth the Lord and obey the voice of his servants that walks in darkness has no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Brethren, that's you. That's me. Encourage one another. Lift one another up. Seek God's sagacious wisdom. Understand why we do what we do. Why we've crawled to get to this point to where we can pull ourselves up. God sticks out that hand. You can do it. It's like Peter when he was in the water. Come! But he allowed the distractions to give. What am I doing? I'm walking on the water. I'm going to sink. If he had stayed laser focused on Christ, that was the unconverted Peter. But we, brethren, have the opportunity to stay focused and walk on that water towards our Savior. Having faith. Having faith. It's not enough to consider the traditions of the Sabbath and the holy days and the clean and unclean meats. We have to understand the love that God has given us. The choice to say, nah, you know what? Forget you, adversary. I don't want to follow you. I don't want to do what you want to do. I don't want to hate today. I want to be that loving being that God wants me to be. That's your choice. And as God's Spirit fills you, that spark, we know very little, but once you start seeing the powers of nature and understanding how that the energies that God directs towards us, His Holy Spirit, it fills this whole universe. That's power. That's power. Can we see it? Do we understand it? Or do we think God's little, here's a little bit of God's power? No, brethren, no. Our God is an awesome God. He created everything. Billions and trillions of years ago, when the morning star sang for joy at the creation of the universe. And as we read in Isaiah, it never ends. Of His government and of His peace, it never ends. So we've got much time involved, and He's giving us this much. Can you see it? Do we recognize it? Does it fill our hearts and our minds to understand, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? What a wonderful calling. What's your name? What a wonderful calling you have. And don't take it for granted, please. Because think about it. You have thousands of thoughts every day. And if every one of your thoughts were to brought to fruition, how much carnage would you lay waste to? See, you as God, think of yourself, I'm going to follow His lead. You as God, if you were given God's power today, I don't like that person. Think I'll just flick him on the shoulder. Or I'll make his whatever. Brethren, God has shown so much tremendous love. We have to guard our minds and be patient and gentle. The same way God demonstrates His gentleness and patience with us. But we have an eternity of godly thinking and godly speaking. We have to learn the language of love. It is not so much a dialect as it is a way of life and a thought process. Learning to speak in love when you are faced with that person that gets in your face and calls you a meanie. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every waking moment, we have to have faith of the mustard seed to understand this is real. Do we get it? Do we understand it? This way of life is real. And guess what, brethren? This is the only alternative. Because if you think that there's going to be, well, you know, I could do it. Uh-huh. All those roads lead to destruction and death. God's way is the only way that leads to life. So, after we learn, we get up, we stop crawling, we are pulled up by our Savior's hand, we start walking, and we run to understand the freedom that God has given us. But we are learning in the process what is freedom and what isn't freedom. This world's definition of freedom comes at a cost. No matter how many times that you think that, and we can convince ourselves of anything. Oh, this podium's green. Is it? Well, it's green to me. Is it really? Brethren, stop. When God gives us a narrative, a directive, it's not a suggestion. It's to say, brethren, I want you to live with me for eternity. So I need you to understand that this podium is brown. We have to let the rays of light that God gives us, the freedom of knowing who God is, what He is, and what He has in store for us. Hope you kept in Romans. Romans chapter 8, once again, we're going to continue on. We're going to go back to Romans 8, verse 6. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, that be the God, Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. Again, we serve an awesome God who is telling us plainly, follow me, follow my instructions, and be a part of my family. Sounds easy, we know it's not. But we have to give up the self. The confusion does not recognize that those that are confused do not understand and get what you get. We hear it on the news, the narrative, all the time. Well, I'm going to make my own choice. I'm going to live a lifestyle that's contrary to God's way of life. That's okay. You get what you get when you do what you do. But we do have a God that is very merciful and willing to forgive and gives us the opportunity to repent. And when we repent of sin, it's no longer there. That shed blood of our elder brother, Jesus Christ, washes it away. It's not there anymore. It's gone. You can't go back next week and say, God, remember that sin I had last week? No. But it's gone. Do we recognize repentance? Do we recognize a repented sin? Or do we continue to bring up the stench over and over and over? Now, are we going to have faced the same trials? Of course. But it's the overcoming process. Overcoming. The more you sin, the more agony you have, the more loving you are, the more love is returned to you in kind from our loving God. See, they have a lot at stake. The God family, Elohim. God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son want to see you more than anything to follow what He has set before us and do the things that are pleasing unto Him. Knowing the Almighty King of Kings is the most loving being in the entire universe. See, that's true freedom. That's true freedom. And again, as it says, all roads lead back to God. When He casts His bread upon the water, brethren, you're the bread. And that, when it mentions that in Ecclesiastes 11:1, basically it's like throwing rice into the mud. If you take root and grow, He's cast a seed upon the water with us. We need to do likewise. Otherwise, we can continue to run to produce life towards God, or we can be as Lot's wife and run back towards destruction and become a pillar of salt. See, as we emulate Christ and we learn the way of give rather than get, that's real freedom. And we're not slaves to sin anymore. Because as it says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, you can write that down. It says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you the kingdom. It's there for you. In my house are many mansions. We draw closer to God through weakness, when we fast, when we pray, when we meditate. When we're fasting, we understand how pitiful we are. But that's actual freedom, to say, God, I need you. I need you. So how do we take flight? It's understanding that the power of God is the focal point of our spiritual growth. The love that the Father and Son have shown to us exceeds our understanding. When we go through trials, His was bigger. We have to understand that our Savior's ability to heal is limited by our limited thinking. And when we have unlimited thinking, understanding how great God is, and come to the resolute understanding that the ability of God, who can do all things, the eternal is superior in thought process throughout. But as we tap in, as we hone our frequency, as we start to resonate with the understanding of what God has in store for us, there's so much more. And science has proven. Go home and do this tonight. Put a couple grapes into your microwave and watch the plasma blow up. No, don't do that. But I watch, it's so fun to watch. Here's the nerd part of me, Yvonne. You watch these films on YouTube and these scientific channels, and they got two grapes, start sparking. And all of a sudden, this cloud comes up inside your microwave because the distance. Anyway, we won't go into that. Again, taking flight with God. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Taking flight involves us learning to love one another truly, madly, deeply. Verse 7 in 1 John 4:4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. The great God of this universe is excited to see you grow. He's excited to see when you make that step, that crawl, that walk, that run, and take flight. And because it's new to us, wow, I learned something new. It's not new to him. He is the Ancient of Days, but he wants to see us grow. He wants to see us become the potential beings that we can be, to understand what he has in store for us. When we start thinking spiritually, is when we start to shed the darkness that surrounds us. When we start thinking in terms of what God did. Jesus Christ was the only perfect being that has ever lived. But he lived a perfect life. And that's fascinating. See, what the depth and scope of what this future holds and how massive this universe is and how small this planet is compared to some of the others, the Earth being 13,000 kilometers around, the Sun being 14 million, Arcturus is 36 million kilometers around, and there's a planet out there, TUN 618, 400 billion kilometers in circumference. Wow. Where does that put us? But yet and still, he knows you. He knows your name. He knows every hair on your head. And of course, I don't have many, so he doesn't have to count very much on me. But that's the God we serve. We're in outer space. We don't have to go to outer space. Every detail of this planet, the largest mountain to the microbes that we cannot see with the naked eye, have been put in place by our God. Every minute detail was put there for us. And that's the great God we serve in this universe. To see beyond, we have to fly to see beyond to get that 36,000 foot level to see there's more to life than what this world would try to box us into, that our adversary would want us to focus in on. Again, we have to use the tools that God has given us, meditation, prayer, fasting, study, to understand what this book has to say. And not just understand what the book has to say, but how do we live it? And how do we come to enjoy this? Because you've been taught by those that would say religion, it encapsulates the ignorant. Oh, brethren, this is freedom. This is freedom. This is flight. This is flight to understand who you are, where you were, what you are to become. Take flight, brother. Take flight. See, because we know that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, you can write it down. Freedom comes when death is destroyed. As it says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And that's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. So in conclusion, brethren, having our names written into the book of life will constitute a tremendous level of trust that God is going to bestow upon you, believing and understanding that you're going to do everything that he tells you to do. Everything. And you're going to do the right thing every time. Every time. We will have learned to crawl. We will have learned to walk. We will have learned to run. Then we will fly. See, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we'll be caught up in the clouds with him. to come back down. See, the God of this universe is true power, true wisdom, and complete love. It's when we realize how great our God is when we can take flight towards eternity. How our existence involves a God that created these massive planets that are out there. And somehow, some way, we're going to be a part of it, this expanding universe. And that is when our change comes. Brethren, let's take flight.